Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials. World Cup getting started. U.S. men's national team winning 4-1 last night over Paraguay. Got some young talent. Been a fun start. And it's, you know, partially on U.S. soil. A lot of it's on U.S. soil. It's a lot of excitement. And listen, I get it. It's a big event, and there's a lot of people that don't really watch soccer and then kind of helicopter in. But it's the same thing with, you know, the Olympics. It's the same thing with a lot of these events. And some people like it, and some people don't. Jack in Virginia has been waiting. He does not like, I was told, does not like fake soccer fans, Jack. Clarify for me, Jack. What is a fake soccer fan?
Man, these guys are killing me. A lot of these soccer fans, I was talking to some guy at the bar, he couldn't even name one player on Team USA or on Team Paraguay. How are you going to be a soccer fan when you don't know one player on either team? That's number one. And all these soccer fans are people that couldn't play football, basketball, or baseball in high school. So they're just trying to be cool saying they're a soccer guy. Please. And number three, how is the coach of Team USA not even going to be from the USA? How are you going to get a foreigner to come coach Team USA?
That actually happens a lot, though. Rick Pitino coached, and Ben, maybe you can help me with this. Rick Pitino, didn't he coach Dominican Republic or something along those lines? I think it does happen with other sports, Jack.
Yeah, but the U.S. shouldn't have to do that, to go get a foreigner to come coach Team USA. I mean, are we going to go get some dude from France to come coach the Dream Team, coach LeBron and Steph?
Yeah, no. But that's different, though. Here's the one thing I'll push back on with that, Jack, is that the U.S. is not at the top tier in terms of soccer and the talent. In basketball, like the NBA, everybody comes here. Say that again?
They shouldn't be in the World Cup. The U.S. can't even have a coach from the United States. They shouldn't even be in the World Cup.
All right.
But I'm just venting, so I just want to, you know,
I'll take put a good vent, there, Jack.
Man. It's just
I'll
annoying.
Take a good vent.
And
thanks,
these guys
Jack.
Watching, they can't even name one player on Team USA. The only player I know is Dennis Rodman's daughter, and she plays on the women's team.
Oh, so you're not even a big soccer fan then. You're just saying that these other people that are pretending to be soccer fans.
Yeah, the people at the bar that are pretending to be these big soccer heads, they can't even name one player on Team USA.
All right. Thanks, Jack. That took a turn. I did not expect him to also be like, yeah, also, I'm not really a big fan of this. I'm just sick calling them out. All right. I didn't expect that. I don't have a problem with, like, somebody from another country coaching the team if it's going to make them better. I mean, the players, there are rules. It's different because then you can see, you know, countries are going to start bending the rules a little bit. Like, yeah, he also has dual citizenship, so we'll bring him over here. But, I mean, you've seen that even in, you know, basketball, it happens. Guys have dual citizenship, and they can play for more than one country. And they're like, I might not play for the U.S., so I can go play for Dominican Republic or, you know, one of these other countries as well. So, look, I just want to see the U.S. succeed. That's it. Like, it would be nice to watch the World Cup and go, you know, the U.S. at least has an outside chance, right? I mean, in the end, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm, like, the biggest soccer fan in the world, but I pay attention to what's going on in those moments, but I'm not going to do it. I've spent most of my time focused on the NBA and the NFL right now, and that's majority of what I've always done. It just is what it is. But, you know, people get excited and want to be a part of it, and if it helps build soccer in the U.S. and we can be more competitive internationally, then I think it's better for everybody. So it's, you know, listen, you win 4-1 to open things up, it's going to help. But if they lay a stinker against, you know, Australia, they play Turkey after that. If they lose to one of those teams, it's not going to help the situation. Not that they're going to go unbeaten, but, you know, there's a level of momentum that's actually there. When you got some young talent there, it helps. Christian Pulisic's been around for a while, but, you know, Flo Balogun now has become a name that I think is going to get more and more run throughout the World Cup. Keep scoring goals. That's the right. That's the flashy thing. The guys that score goals. Plus, season 4 of Ted Lasso's coming out. So anybody who wants to be a soccer fan, you're gonna have that. I think that's in August. I think that's when it comes out. I'm not gonna pretend, you know, that's the end all be all. But it's a great show. It's a great show. Be interesting to see tonight what happens too with Spurs and Knicks kind of like head spaces as we get into Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, because the early on is really going to be a test to, because there was two different things, right? Because if you're the Spurs, you've got to forget that you blew a 29-point lead, and they blew that lead. I mean, it was embarrassing in that second half, the way that they approached that game plan. Let's just keep shooting threes. Let's just be as inefficient as possible, as opposed to eating clock, running that thing down. Again, they're a young, inexperienced team, and it has shown in every single game in these NBA Finals, the Spurs have looked lost at times late in games. They remind me of these young teams that are loaded with freshmen that have great regular seasons in college basketball. Then you get to March Madness, and the team with upperclassmen beats them because they know how to handle late-game tight situations. The Spurs do not have that experience, especially in this level. And yes, this Knicks team has not been to the Finals, but this group was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Majority of them, not the entire roster, second round before that, like they've got a lot of playoff experience, so it's similar. But if you're the Spurs, you got to forget it. You got to move on. You have to forget what happened, and it's going to be really hard to, especially if you're De'Aaron Fox late. You got to forget what happened in that game. If it's the Knicks side of things, can't go back out and play the way that you did in the first half and approach the game the way that you did in the first half. The Knicks did not look like they were even there to play basketball. They looked like they were there ready for a fight. That's it. They were ready for a fight. It was a slap in the face to the game of basketball, the way that the Knicks approached the first half of Game 4. It was embarrassing. They looked so unprepared, and the Spurs were getting under their skin and in their heads like Wemby was telling them the entire first half. It was an utter embarrassment. And if this Game 5 tonight starts off in a similar way where the Spurs are pushing the envelope and they're seeing where the line is with officials and they're trying to see what's going to get called and what's not going to get called, and then the Knicks start getting pissed off and they're throwing elbows and getting flagrant fouls called on them again, you're not going to have another historic comeback two nights in a row. It's just not going to happen. The basketball gods bestowed a gift upon them in Game 4, and it's just not going to happen again. So the mental side of this and where teams' headspaces are in Game 5 is going to be the biggest thing to watch, especially the first few minutes of that first quarter, and I'd argue really the entire first half, but especially early on, because the Spurs are going to be back home, place is going to be loud, fans are going to be behind them, the Knicks are going to be the enemies, and they won the first two games there, and it's hard to win on the road in the playoffs. It's even harder to win back-to-back games on the road, especially to start a series in the playoffs. And it's even harder to win the first two games of a series for the NBA Finals on the road. Only two teams have done that. So the odds of the Knicks winning another game on the road are pretty rare. They're pretty low. It's probably the better terms. They're pretty low. Doesn't mean that they can't. Doesn't mean they can't close it out tonight. But they've got to approach this the way that they did the first two games in San Antonio. And they've got to get Karl Anthony Towns more involved. And he was in foul trouble. I mean, he picked up two fouls in the first 2 minutes. I mean, it was a disaster. And then Mitchell Robinson's out there, and he's missing free throws. By the way, can we just... Mitchell Robinson should be required contractually to shoot granny style at the free throw line. I mean, any professional basketball player that can't hit 40% of his free throws should be required. I'd even make the rule the line 50%. If you can hit 50% of your free throws and you are in the NBA granny style, it is a rule. And it can change throughout the game. Well, your overall percentage this year has gone up to 51. You can shoot it regular if you want. Nope, you just missed that one. You're back down to 49%. Get back to granny style. I mean, it's embarrassing. And then the Spurs are going to go foul him, and he's going to get to the line. You're going to get. That's the other thing, too. That's another slap in the face of the game of basketball. We've seen a lot in the playoffs with Mitchell Robinson. So he's a liability out there if he's too much offensively. So the Knicks then started going down to like four centers in the first half. They missed out on their rotations. The game plan was destroyed. Mentally, they were completely lost. So again, everything was mounted against them. That's why it was not the Knicks winning that game. It was them taking advantage of the Spurs handing them that game. You're not going to get that again. Now, I will say that no lead is safe in this game, no matter what, because we've seen it the entire series. The Knicks also did blow a lead themselves. The Spurs blew a 14-point lead in Game 1. The Knicks blew a 14-point game late lead in Game 2, but they were at least able to win the game. No lead is safe, and we've watched a lot of inconsistency in this series. I mean, even Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's shooting 39% from the field in the NBA Finals. It's not like he shot the ball great. He's still putting up a ton of points, though. He's still averaging almost 30 points a game in the Finals. He's probably going to be MVP. But, you know, you're getting these hot and cold streaks from these teams so much where, you know, one game Karl Anthony Towns is the hero. The next game he's on the bench the entire time. One game Jalen Brunson's getting you 30, but he's also then shooting 7 of 24. Josh Hart disappears offensively for a couple games. Game three, starting to knock down outside shots. But you know what, Josh Hart, he's a guy that's going to get you rebounds, assists. He's going to do some other things. There's been such a roller coaster throughout this series that the mental side of this is going to be so important. And whatever that momentum is really going to carry through. It's got to carry through the entire game. But the Knicks just looked lost in that last game and angry. And in the first two games, that's where the Spurs looked. Right, the Knicks looked like the veterans. The Knicks looked like the team that had been in the playoffs before, that belonged in the finals, that didn't look overwhelmed. I mean, Victor Wembanyama looked like he was seeing ghosts in the first two games. He looked tired and worn down. It was mental. It was physical. And then they came out in game three and said, all right, let's start throwing elbows. Let's start throwing Jalen Brunson on the court. Let's beat up the Knicks. The Spurs basically adopted the bad boy Pistons approach to a point in that game three and then more in game four. It's just the second half they lost all their edge. The Spurs are going to come out with that edge. They're going to come out looking for a fight. And if the Knicks don't realize that they're not going to get the calls that they want and they let that affect the way they play, they're going to lose this game. I do think this probably goes back to the Garden for one more. And the Knicks win at home. But if they're going in with that mindset of like, oh, I'd rather win at home anyway, you're in for a big problem. Do not play with your food. 3-1 leads are not insurmountable. We've seen teams come back. I know it's not easy, but, you know, there was a certain guy in LeBron James that happened to do this against the Warriors that did win 73 games that year. Now, granted, I know Draymond Green got suspended, but it was one game. Like, everybody loves to talk about that, too. They're like, oh, well, you know, Draymond got suspended. It was one game. One game in the finals. Let's just credit LeBron for what he was able to do with the Cavs and winning that series, all right? But 3-1 leads are not insurmountable. 3-0 series lead is a different story. The Knicks won game three. We're probably talking about a sweep. The finals might actually be done at this point. But I think now we could have six. Now the NBA wants this to go full seven games because have you seen the ratings? If you haven't, they're the best since the late 90s. I mean, monster every single game. Monster numbers. Monster numbers. And look, it's great for the NBA. You've got a big market team in the Knicks. You've got the star power and celebrity row, which I'd be honest with you, I'm so tired of. And I like Ben Stiller. That's cool. At least he's filming a documentary, and you see some of the footage of that. Anytime Larry David's involved, fine. I love Larry David, but like some of this is just, even Timothy Chalamet. I'm just kind of like over it. It's just like, my God, okay. He's wearing a goofy outfit, big baggy goofy jeans, and he's jumping around. But he seems like a cool guy, so it's fine. But like, you know, you just get to the point like, okay, oh, here's celebrity row again. Oh, I just don't care, and most people don't, but it is what it is, and it's great for the NBA, and it brings that star power, and it makes it, again, an event. But then the Spurs side of things, you've got Victor Wembanyama. The more games that he's out there, that people are exposed to that name and that face and the alien, the guy doesn't look human, looks more like a wacky, waving, inflatable, arm-flailing tube man. It's great for the NBA because it helps market their potentially next great player, their next face of the league. So make no mistake about it. The league office, quietly and maybe not so quietly, has made it known. They want this to go as long as possible. And listen, seven-game series was great. You actually had a great Game 7 last year, and it was Pacers and Thunder, which had no juice whatsoever. It's the opposite of what last year's NBA Finals were. Now, Game 7 had great ratings. People were into it. It was a Game 7. But the Pacers and Thunder last year didn't bring eyeballs. You didn't have the star power then. It was two new teams. People were unfamiliar with them. The NBA having the Spurs and the Knicks. The Spurs have won titles. It's a franchise everybody's familiar with. You've got Victor Wembanyama. You've got all this talent that's out there. You've got the big star power. All that. It's great for the league. They wanted to go seven games. Now, whether that happens is another story. If it goes seven, Spurs could come back and win this.
You saw who the crew chief is, right?
I don't think I do. I thought I did see. Who is it?
They brought out the extender, Scott Foster.
Oh, God, they did bring Scott Foster. I thought I did see that. Oh, great.
Who has a nickname for extending series.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yep. And it was Mark Davis in what, game two, where the Spurs have a monster record with it? Like, they're just like win like 89% of their games when he's the lead official, and it's that's what I said, right, Ben? It's like the NBA is kind of making it known they want this series to go longer, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I want it to go longer.
I know you do. And I think everybody does, you know? I mean, it's great for the league.
As a guy that supports the Knicks, do you want it to go longer?
No, but right. I will be excited to watch those games. I mean, I'm nervous, but I'm at a point where it's like, I get it. It'll be a fun series. And because here's the thing. When this is done, the NBA is done, and I love the NBA, and I like watching games. So I'll be sad. We'll have the draft, and then it's going to be real quiet for months. And I'm not ready for that yet. I want to watch more basketball. These playoffs have been great. They've been really great. And we need more of that. 8:30 tip tonight. We'll see. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Tell you what, if you're in New York right now, it's gotta be a circus. I almost said something else. Brazil fans are there right now. Knicks fans are going to, I know the game's in San Antonio, but we know they're going to be out in the streets before that game. You got the robot going around saying F. Trae Young that's everywhere too. He's stopping traffic. It is a circus in New York right now. That's what makes sports fun, doesn't it? Except when you're trying to walk around and you got people playing soccer in the middle of Times Square. I'm looking at a picture of that right now. I'd say this too. The videos of Knicks fans celebrating in New York are fun until you see the fights. Like, I mean, I remember when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, none of that happened, right? Like, as far as I can remember, I think there was, like, one arrest. At least maybe that was what was made publicly. You can celebrate without beating the hell out of somebody, man. Good God.
Nick, let me ask you something.
All right, ask me something.
So we've been talking about how the World Cup, like, it's an event. It's something everybody's interested in because it's kind of an excuse to hang out with people and get together. And I think we've seen the same level of camaraderie in New York amongst the people that are there.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the term LARPing?
LARPing.
Yes.
It sounds familiar, but I wouldn't be able to give you the definition. I could probably spell it, but that's it.
So it's this new term where essentially you are flexing something that's not really yours. Like if you see a Lamborghini out on Half Street outside our studios and you go take a picture with it and post it on social media, like that's LARPing.
So it's a lot of social media, yes.
Right, yeah. Like the majority of social media is not real. It's mostly LARPing. Right. The new top form of LARPing, I would say right now, I've noticed amongst people like my peers that I graduated college with, they moved to New York City. They have no affiliation with New York. They've never been there until they moved there. And they like post the aesthetic picture of the Empire State Building glowing up blue and orange and being downtown during the games. And they act like they're Knicks fans. I'm like, you have never cared about basketball until last week. Now you are out every day posting on social media, like reposting OG Anunoby tip-in shot. Like you don't care about the team. You do not care about the sport. You're doing this to seem like you are a part of it, though.
So Taylor Swift?
Yes, she's LARPing.
She's LARPing. Thank you. Like, people are getting mad at some. Like, that being said, like, she's never been in a Knicks game ever. And she's there with her friends in these fake homemade Knicks shirts. And it's like every time they do something, the camera shows her hugging all of her friends. And it's like, you're doing this for attention. Now I've got a word for it. Thank you. I hate LARPing. I didn't know the definition. And now I know I hate LARPing. It's the worst. And there's a lot of that. You're right. And look, I understand that there are people that just love the story of the Knicks, and that's kind of what it is, right? It reminds me of, you know, years ago when right before the Cubs broke their World Series curse, right? It was similar. It's like a big team. Everybody knows that they've had this drought forever and haven't won a championship, and they're in a World Series, but they're down 3-1, and they come back and they win, and it's amazing, and it ends, and that's kind of where the Knicks are in a lot of ways. But you're right, there's a difference between like, hey, this is really cool, and then it's like pretending that you're a fan. You don't have to be overly vocal as a fan of a team, but you know if somebody's faking and they're LARPing. Thank you for this. I've got a word now. It's great. Taylor Swift is LARPing. I don't know why it bothers me, but it just bothers me because it feels so staged. It's just, it drove me nuts. And then you see like these, all these Swifties going after people saying it on social media. I'm like, who cares? Like, it's true.
I looked up a real definition of LARPing. And okay. Technically, it stands for live action role play. So everybody is role playing as a diehard Knicks fan right now.
I think that's fair.
I guess that's what Taylor Swift is doing. She is role playing as a Knicks fan.
Oh, I mean, 100%. I mean, it's so over the top. Yeah, you could see it like on the court, on camera, on the wide shot for the game, jumping up and down and hugging. It's like, you're not a fan. It's one thing to like be, it's, again, it's not a matter of being there, right? Being there is cool. Like, you want to experience the event. It's another when it's over the top excitement. Like, oh, they just scored. I'm so excited. It's like, no, you're not. It's fake. Even with the Chiefs, it made sense. It's Travis Kelce. Like, okay, she's now a Chiefs fan. It's Travis Kelce. That makes sense. To show up and be courtside just so you can look cool and you're one of the people. Yeah. When you flew your private jet to New York to get there. No, it's fake. It's just, it drives me insane seeing that. And yeah, that's the difference. It's not like, you know what? Here's the thing. Like I said, I am not a huge, like, I'm not a diehard soccer fan. But you know what? I'm fan of Team USA. I want to see them win. I'm going to watch World Cup games. I'm excited. But I'm not going to pretend that, like, I'm overly invested in that sense, like I've always been overly invested. Same thing. You want to go to a Knicks game because you want to be a part of that environment. That's fair. It's the fakeness of, like, you're emotionally invested and you just ride or die with the Knicks in every play or any team for anything with any story that's in sports. It's all for social media, and it's exhausting, and now I have a word to use, and I hate LARPing, and is LARPers also a word, Ben? Is that like a, if you're LARPing, are you a LARPer? We need to look that up, because I think that's important to know, too, because we should start that. Taylor Swift is a LARPer, and see what happens. I'm sure no one will get upset on social media over that. It's got to be a word. But, like, yeah, it's just you get to this. There's just so over the top. And, yeah, well, that's the other thing, too. Don't people literally just go to, like, fake private jets that aren't real and they sit and just take a picture in it and you can do that and it's, like, basically a set? It's a stage. You just do it and pretend you're flying private. And you're like, you're not really flying private. Here's the thing. Most stuff is fake on social media like that. Doesn't mean everything's fake. People have real opinions. But, I mean, that's the difference. It's like, okay, you're not, like, you want to see that team win, you want to see this story finish, you want to see a drought end for a team, that's great. But, like, don't pretend to be, like, a diehard fan, it's just so fake. It's so LARPy. LARPy now, too. We're just going to make up words for this. I'm using this word. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
I love this. Are you, so we, they can be a LARPer, because you're LARPing, and you can be very LARPy. All right. I've made those up. I don't know if those are actually things, but you know, you can tell me for sure. But I think that's the case. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. LARPing has now become the term of the show. I've learned something today. Thank you, Ben. When you're faking, something, like taking a picture in front of a Lamborghini and pretending it's yours, or suddenly becoming a diehard Knicks fan when you're at the Garden, Taylor Swift. Look, it's fine to want to be a part of, like, a story, a journey, and, like, embracing it, right? You're in that moment, you're in that environment. That's cool. But just don't fake it. Don't fake being a fan. Like, listen, I wanted to see the Cubs win the World Series, you know, back in the day and see them break their curse, but I didn't, like, pretend to be a Cubs fan. I wasn't, like, wearing Cubs gear. I'm not a Cubs fan. I have no connection whatsoever. Chicago's a great city, but, like, I've been there a few times, but I'm not a Cubs fan. They're like, that's the difference. And again, if you're not a soccer fan, but you're embracing Team USA and the Paraguay win, and, you know, you want it again, and some of that's different too, because it's also like representing the country, and I think there's a different level to that that's there. But, you know, there's, you know, it's like if the Wizards were in the NBA Finals right now, and your friend that has been to D.C. once in his life that lives in Montana now is wearing a bunch of Wizards gear and flexing on Instagram and TikTok with all that. Like, hey, come on. You're fake. That's LARPing. And you're a LARPer, and you're very LARPy. I love this. I love this word. I'm using it all the time now. Oh, Paulie's got something to say. Paulie's on the Fan. What's up, Paulie?
Orange and blue skies, baby. Hail to the W, man. Nick, God bless you, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, listen. Let me ask you this. Was Taylor Swift LARPing, or was she just drunk? I think she was just drunk. That was a little like to me. It looked like she had started the party before she got there.
You know what? That might be fair. That might be fair, Paulie. There might have been a few drinks beforehand, so there might have been a little more in there. Fair enough.
And I'm the last person to ever defend her, you know what I mean? But yeah, but look, I take that kind of personally. I don't mind the bandwagon fan. You could be a bandwagon fan and root for the Knicks. But, yeah, it disturbs me when they're going overboard with it, like they've been a fan. I've been a Knicks fan my whole life. And that means I've been crying and hurt and mad for the most part of my life from basketball season. Matter of fact, you know, they say I like the most passionate sports person. I had to tell everybody, no, I usually just pissed off during sports season because I went from the Redskins to the Knicks and then the Hoyas. So I'm usually pissed off all the time because my teams don't be doing good.
But it's true, though, Paulie, because, like, literally those are my teams, too. Like, I grew up, I love the Wizards. I want to see them win. But, like, as a kid first, before I moved to Virginia, I adopted the Knicks. I loved the Knicks. I lived there. And it was like, and my dad has made me a Redskins fan from, you know, 8 years old on because that's the one sport he loves. So it's like fandom sometimes can get confusing, but like I stick with my teams no matter what. So just like you, dude, I've suffered as much as any sports fan has ever suffered with some of the most dysfunctional franchises that have ever existed. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
All right, man. So I take that personally. Like, bro, y'all ain't been through the pain. That's why you see New Yorkers going crazy. And people who are real Knicks fans, you know, going crazy. I promise you, we win tonight, I'm going to cry.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
Cry, you know what I mean? And like, you know, God rest my brother's soul. And my younger brother, you know, I corrupted him into being a Knicks fan. And he passed away 2 summers ago. You know, but, you know, I just can't wait, man. I can't wait to share this moment with him. He's ready. And I promise you, I will be in tears if we win this thing tonight, man. I promise you that. So all y'all loppers out there, don't lop. You know, support, but don't be a lopper. Hail to the W, man. Orange and blue skies, baby. Let's go.
Paulie, you're the best. Good to talk to you, buddy. And I'm obviously sorry to hear about your brother. And I hope the Knicks win just for that. Just for that sort of that circle around moment. See, that though right there, like that's also what's cool about sports is like, you know, people have this bond with somebody, family member, friend, whatever it is. And maybe they've passed. Maybe they're not there anymore. Like you're able to have that moment and still it's like just a cool moment. And yeah, like, again, getting a little sentimental here. Yeah, but like, come on now. What did it feel like when the Caps broke the DC sports curse? Because that was, look, I know we had the Caps and then we had the Nationals in back-to-back years. I never thought I'd be at any championship parade, let alone covering 2 championship parades in 2 years. I never thought that would be the case in my career. But, you know, the Capitals specifically was just so special because it broke that's all we talked about, right? It was just getting to, like, a championship game or an Eastern Conference final or finals or NFC championship game or whatever, right? Like, that broke the curse. That broke through the ceiling. Whatever. Whatever analogy you want to use to describe it, that's what made it so special. And, like, even if somebody wasn't a Caps fan and they were just, like, along for the ride, they didn't pretend to be a Caps fan, but, you know, they're I don't know, whatever. I'm trying to think of a team where there'd be, like, no rivalry whatsoever. Whatever. You know, I guess we didn't have Utah back then. Again, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point here is that, like, you want people to be along for the ride, but you also, like, it's special for people that have been through the suffering. And look, part of being a sports fan is suffering, isn't it? I mean, it's true. You can't just, like, change teams. You can root for other teams, for other stories, for other, you know, have your, again, tiers, fandom tiers. I think fandom tiers are great, but you got to have your team at the very top. Like, it's a depth chart, and number one is still that team. Because it makes the winning that much better when you've gone through that suffering. And I know this sounds like one of those like motivational podcasts, but like it's so true.
This is so true. And for people that are my age that are Boston fans, any fan of Boston teams, I don't understand what they think because they've never suffered with anything.
You're right.
The older Boston fans, I get they did suffer at some point because they weren't winning a lot. But over the last 25 years, all they do is win.
Oh.
And then the Patriots stop winning for 3 years, and then they're back in it. Like, these dudes don't know jack about suffering, and I don't think they truly understand how other fan bases feel.
Or it's like, you know, a couple of years of you know, like this year. Oh, the Celtics lost in the first round. Oh, man, you'll be all right. You'll be fine.
Bill Simmons just won a championship. Like, freaking out about it.
I know, and you're right. It's so true where there are certain, and again, it's all jealousy, right? Am I jealous of Boston fans because of all the success? Of course. Of course it's jealousy. And really, if you think about peak Patriots, the 2 decades that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were together. Now, I understand you'd be like, well, they cheated. Yeah, most teams have cheated. It's just it was more glaring with the Patriots. It became a bigger deal, and they were made an example of. But, like, Again, every team does cheat in some way. I don't think that website exists anymore, yourteamcheats.com. It did exist, and it was like a list of every violation every NFL team had ever had, and like everybody breaks the rules. So you just, it was the Patriots. But that being said, even though the Patriots had that stigma on them, they were winning, and there is not a single person that would not trade a major, like, unless you're a fan of another really successful franchise, but really nobody was as much as the Patriots, there is not a chance in hell that you wouldn't trade your team's last 20 years for that 20 years that the Patriots had with all the Super Bowls and all the success, even if we're like, hey, your team's a cheater, and, like, I'll tell you right now, the Dan Snyder era, if it was nothing but winning, but people were like, the Redskins are cheating. Oh, yeah, we won a lot of Super Bowls. I don't care. I'd take that in a second. We moved on from that era, but like, there's still scars. Let's be real. They still exist. It's, yeah, you get jealous. We all get jealous of fan bases that don't suffer, like in Boston. Just constant. But it goes through cycles, and I'm telling you, I'm just saying this. The Nats are trending up. The Wizards are trending up. The Commanders are trending up. Maybe in a few years, we're like Boston. You never know. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Less than 6 hours away from Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Whew, man, if the Spurs come out trying to fight early, I don't know. I mean, you got to... You can't let this game get out of hand. That was my big thing heading into game four, was like, if this game gets out of hand, these officials are going to have to tighten things up. And they did a lot of ways. They just slowed it down. Everybody just kept going to replay. But, you know, flagrant foul after flagrant foul, and everybody's in foul trouble, and the Knicks just look like, ah, we're not going to play basketball anymore. I still, it's days later, and I'm looking around going, did they really come back from 29 down? I know the Spurs handed them that game, but that was an inexperienced team. They clearly did not know how to handle a lead and handle success, right? It's like somebody that gets a lot of money really early in their life. We talk about athletes getting way too much money way too soon and not knowing what to do with it. The Spurs were like a 19-year-old kid just drafted in the NBA and not knowing what to do with the millions of dollars he has and just blowing it all. Like, dude, you should have just bought a house, maybe invested a little bit, done something smart, and instead you just went out and bought 5 Lamborghinis. It's not a good idea. And that's... No, that was the Spurs, and that's why this series is 3-1 heading into the night back in San Antonio. All right, Mitch in New Jersey is on The Fan. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, Nick?
I'm good, Mitch. I'm good.
Nick's got a beautiful day. Nick's got a win today. They got to come out strong for once and get a good lead. I think Pat and Josh are going to have great games. And the Spurs, they've been so lucky with their picks. Even when they don't get the first round pick, Dylan Hawkins was a pick number 2. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, 2 drafts ago. And that's how close they were, almost in the lottery. They almost got flagged. Can you imagine they got flagged? You know who they passed up? I think they would have been better off with this pick. Because they have like 3-4 guys that are the same. You know, including the guy that they traded with behind back. They stole him to back out. The Hornets, Khan. He's at 6'6", 6'7". Can you imagine him with the Spurs right now? Instead of Dylan Hopper, who's stuck on the bench, guys. He's not winning for him. So just imagine if Collins on his team. And they play with 4 guards. Why don't they have a power forward, a wing? Like the old days. You know?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, thanks, Mitch. I think the phone cut out just slightly there. No, but you know, here's the thing that Mitch said that is really true. Mitch is right. It's not just that the Spurs were lucky recently. The Spurs were also lucky in their last era of success because they jumped all the way in the draft to get Tim Duncan #1 overall. The Spurs, I don't know what they do down there in San Antonio to have the luck that they have around this organization, but they lucked out jumping in the draft to be able to get Tim Duncan and win championships. Then they get lucky, not just having the number 1 overall pick to get Victor Wembanyama, but yes, Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper is going to end up starting for them next year. They're going to trade De'Aaron Fox after this year. And they also then got Stephon Castle. And again, some of this is the actual losing, but some of it is also you get a little bit of a jump in the draft. And for Dylan Harper, they did jump, I think it was like 5 spots or something along those lines, to get that as well. So, yeah, look. And that's kind of where the Wizards certainly are. Well, the Wizards have had some bad luck to a point, but hear me out on this. They might have actually lucked out falling to 7 to get Trey Johnson, because I think Trey Johnson's going to end up being a steal of that draft. Wouldn't you say, Ben?
It's possible. Mm-hmm. It was kind of plagued by injury, though, was the one thing.
A little bit. But there's a lot of upside to him, wouldn't you? We can at least agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one other biggest steal we'd probably could be talking about is Bailey at 5.
Well, yeah.
When it's all said and done.
Yeah, I know. Maybe if the Wizards can trade down a pick and get Ace Bailey in the number 2 pick, and then Darren Peterson, and then that comes together, and then they can have Ace Bailey too. How about that?
You know what? It's really hard to say at this point, because that top of the draft class was so good this year. Flagg won Rookie of the Year. Maybe he shouldn't have, because Khan probably a little bit more deserving, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Dylan Harper is contributing majorly on an NBA Finals team. VJ Edgecombe was really good in his rookie season. Ace Bailey came along. Trey Johnson had a little bit of the injury stuff. But the top of that draft is nuts.
It was.
And I think this one's going to be even crazier.
Yeah, yeah. But that's the thing, is it was really both of these drafts. This past draft and the draft coming up were both, like, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of expectation on the players that are in these draft classes. Last year was ranked probably number 2 compared to what we've got coming in. Now, we won't know for sure for years to come and see how they shape out and what do all these draft classes look like. I would argue that this is definitely a deeper draft than last year. The question is, what does the top-end talent look like in terms of where their careers are? Like, does Cooper Flagg have a better career than Darren Peterson or A.J. Tabonsa? Does VJ Edgecombe have, you know, a career that looks, you know, turns out better than, you know, somebody at the top? That's really what I think it comes down to at this point. But Cooper Flagg was looked at as a franchise-altering player, and he definitely can be. And you know, it makes up for the draft, you know, the Alex Saar draft a couple of years ago, where thank God the Wizards had the number 2 pick. They would have taken Saar number 1, but, you know, it was Zachary Risacher and then Alex Saar. It's like big difference between the two. Zachary Risacher could not get in the game, the final playoff game when the Hawks were down 61 points at one point to the Knicks. They didn't even play him then. That's how bad it was. Now, Saar didn't want to play for the Hawks. He wanted to play for the Wizards, which is great. But then there was reports that Ace Bailey wanted to play for the Wizards too. Didn't follow them, but I do like Trey Johnson. I would have rather had Ace Bailey, sure, but again, we'll see a few years from now. I'm a little bit hesitant to lean into the comparisons of Ray Allen and Trey Johnson. That was getting floated around for a while, but Ray Allen averaged like 13 points a game his rookie year, whatever. It wasn't anything spectacular, and turned out to be a Hall of Famer. So Trey Johnson can stay healthy, and then maybe the Wizards have, an Alex Saar, and you've got a Trey Johnson, and then you've got either A.J. Tabonsa or Darren Peterson, and that's a nice core of young players.
Speaking kind of hindsight with these players, when you go back to the 2024 draft class, everybody is saying, oh my goodness, like, why wouldn't the Hawks have just taken Stephon Castle? Why was he not in the conversation? But everyone has to remember, even if Stephon Castle is the best player from the class, that another guard was taken before him. The Rockets took Reed Sheppard. So,
right.
I mean, like, they would deserve some of the blame as well, I guess, if you want to say, oh my God, like, Risacher went 1 and then Saar 2. How is Steph Castle at 4? Like that he wasn't the one directly after Saar is the thing.
It's tough to play that, you know, look back 3 or 4 years at a draft and go, why didn't you make this pick? Or why, you know, people do that with, like, Kawhi Leonard. All these teams passed on Kawhi Leonard. Or, you know, look at all these teams that passed on Klay Thompson. When Klay Thompson got drafted out of Washington State, people were like, who? I mean, the Warriors just identified talent that most other teams didn't identify. That's really what it is. It's always a dangerous game to play. It's one thing if it was, like, really obvious. Like, yeah, you could look at teams that passed on Steph Curry. Let's remember what Steph Curry was looked at in terms of his future in the NBA. Can he stay healthy? Can his game translate to the NBA? And for the first few years, he was inconsistent anyway. You could see that he could shoot, but he had ankle problems. He was missing games. He wasn't even closing games. AC Law was the guy closing games at point guard for the Warriors at times. And it's tough to play that game, and sometimes it is luck, but it's also player development, and it's also getting the most out of the guys that you possibly can. And that's the next step for the Wizards, that player development. All right, if you're on 980, we're done. The Fan, we're sticking around for another 30 minutes, leading you up to the Nats. Nick Ashew.